Blog Talk Radio.
Used to spend my nights out in a barroom.
Yes, Paris.
Liquor was the only love I know. Yeah. But you rescued me from reaching for the bottom and brought me back from being too far gone.
Yeah.
Señor Jesús, Tennessee whiskey, you're as sweet as strawberry wine. Señor is one.
Welcome to Dry Bones Connection on Wednesday night. This is Antoinette, and tonight we're celebrating Harry Belafonte As you know, he died yesterday at 96 years old. And I have with me one who knows Harry, who knew Harry Belafonte, Spider Web.
Erase and re-record. Press 3.
Okay, no, we don't have him. Okay, let me try that again. I'm sorry, folks. Just a moment. Let me give you something.
A buzzer took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving. What's the use of jiving? Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top." The buzzer told the monkey, "You are choking me. Release your hold and I will set you free." The monkey looked the buzzer right dead in the eye and said, "Your story's so touching, but it sounds just like a lie." Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top.
Party in the street, got the party wagon rocking. talking horses walking in the street. So grab your booze and hit the field to the trail rider's groove. It's called the trail ride shuffle. Let me show you what to do. Now hop it on up,
hop it on up.
Now hop it on back,
now hop it on back.
Now work that middle for me, y'all. Now do it like that,
now do it like that.
Now move it on up, now move it on back.
Wind me up,
now turn around with me, y'all, and walk it on back. Now hop it on up,
hop it on up.
Now hop it on back,
now hop it on back.
Now work that middle for me, y'all. Now do it like that,
now do it like that.
Now move it on up, now move it on back.
Wind me up,
now turn around with me, y'all.
Oh boy, I'm sorry, folks. Welcome to Dry Bones Connection on Wednesday night. This is Antoinette. And tonight, as I said before, forgive the technical difficulties that we've been having, but we have Spider Web.
Yes. Hello? 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 I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Hello? Hello? Antoinette, hello. Can't hear you.
Hello, everyone. Forgive me. I'm having difficulties, but my line keeps dropping. Okay, let me. All right. We have with us Ms. Kim Weston. Ms. Kim? Ms. Kim, if you have your line unmuted, could you unmute yourself, please? Okay. Maybe she stepped away for a moment.
Oh, boy. Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Just pretend, oh baby, why fool yourself? Don't be afraid to help yourself. It's never too late to stop. Look, yeah, listen to your heart, hear what it says, stop. Look now, listen to your heart, hear what it says, love.
Greetings, all. I don't know if Antoinette is able to hear me, but she called. There's a problem with the system. We're trying to get everything on track. Brother Spider, are you with us? I don't know what's going on. Brother Spider, are you with us? I'm sorry for the technical problems. I don't know if you can hear me or not.
Yes, well, I can hear you.
Okay.
Okay.
Everyone.
There you go.
I'm sorry for the interruptions.
Okay. All right.
My phone kept dropping. And that is Dry Bones himself. And we have Miss Kim Winston with us, and we have Spider Webb that personally knew Perry Belafonte. Are y'all with me?
I'm listening. We want to make sure this. Go right ahead.
I'm here too. I'm here.
Okay, well, as y'all know, Perry Belafonte passed away yesterday. At the age of 96, he died of heart failure, but he was an activist, and he became an activist after his singing career. Now, he died in his home in New York, and he's famous for, one of the songs he's famous for is The Banana Boat, but Miss Kim, I know you sang with him. Do you want to tell us about that? And then Spider will let you tell of your experience.
I'd rather let Spider talk because Spider has
a different. No, go ahead, Kim.
I'd rather let you talk because I just sung, you know, we were involved with the show in a different way. But I'll say so. Hello, everybody. Hi, family, everybody. Thank you, Spider, for coming with us.
Yes.
Okay, well, I know you did a documentary, and in your documentary, you had spoke of your experience with Harry Belafonte. Can you tell me how you connected with him?
Well, I'm really from Detroit, and I'm a drummer, and I did some early stuff here in Detroit, but I felt like that there was something more for me, and I moved to New York, and I worked with the late, great King Curtis. If anybody remembers King Curtis, the song Memphis Soul Stew, word of mouth, you know, people was liking the way that I played, and I think it was Chuck Rainey, our bass player in New York, recommended me to Harry Belafonte, and I just couldn't believe it. I said, wow, I played good enough to be with Harry?
Wow, yeah.
I went to rehearsals, and the first engagement I did with Harry, I think, was at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, and Nancy Wilson was opening up the show for Harry. And I had never seen anything like that before in my life. Well, you know, you see things on TV and stuff like that in movies.
Yeah.
But to be directly involved in it was a whole nother thing for myself. You know, I was like, wow. So what did I do? I called my mama. I say, I'm calling my mama. She got to come see this.
Yeah.
You know, I said, because if I go back home and say I was with Harry Belafonte at Caesar's Palace, nobody going to believe me. So my mom came out to Vegas, you know, and we were like on cloud nine. So I did several engagements with Harry, several concerts in some of the most beautiful theaters in Canada.
Oh, in Canada.
Yeah.
Wow.
So then we came back. I think that was in 1969 or either 1970.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how long ago it was. So the next year, Harry was putting together his band. And it was very, very interesting because I was the only person that he called back.
Oh.
Okay. And then
yeah.
there was a whole other group, you know, and it was very interesting because we were all young. I was a young man.
Yeah.
You know, now you're 24, 25 years old, you know?
Yes, you were young.
And I'm in this kind of situation. And little did I know that everybody that was in that particular group was of that age. We had, I kind of looked at it as a small United Nations. You know, there were people from Puerto Rico, people from Trinidad, people from Brazil, people from Africa, you know, and then here I come, a little guy from Detroit. And I didn't know too much about calypsos or reggae or stuff like that because I wasn't playing that in Detroit. It was basically R&B. And, you know, I think Harry saw the potential in all of us. And, you know, we could play, but we just had to control what we were doing. And Harry saw the potential in us, and he just let us go. You know, that's one thing I can say. He just let us go. He didn't let us go too far, but he gave us a chance to express ourselves and do his music the way that we heard it, you know, which turned out to be really good. You know, I wound up doing about 3 albums with Harry. One was live at the O'Keefe Center in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And it was with the second unit, all the young guys. And we just learned from each other. You know, the guys from Trinidad taught me how to play calypsos and reggae, and the guys from Puerto Rico taught me how to play Latin. And then I was very, very fortunate to be in the presence of Silverino de Oliveira. He was from Brazil. He,
mm-hmm.
he played accordion and he sang. And he taught me about samba, you know, and we all learned from each other. You know, and it was a wonderful experience. If I had it to do all over again, I'd do it the same way. I was with Harry up until the beginning of 72. And then I moved to California. Now,
okay.
In 1980, Harry called me up. I was very surprised. He called me. And he wanted me to come out and finish the tour that he was on. And I was like, oh, man, great. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, you know. And I went out and I took a drummer's place. And I was very surprised at that because the drummer that he had was Portino. Portino was a Brazilian drummer. So he knew all of those different rhythms and all those different genres of music. But the thing that I brought to the table was a Motown feel and a Motown pickup.
All right.
And you can
only get the Motown sound from Detroit.
Yeah, yeah. And Harry liked that.
Yeah.
Harry liked it. I didn't realize that until later, but he really... That's what he really liked. He wanted the stuff to be in the pocket. He wanted that backbeat, and he wanted those pickups, you know, and that's
yeah.
what I brought to the table, you know. And he called me up, and I did a few concerts in the Toronto area. And then I went to, we flew to Germany.
Oh.
And did the German TV network. And it was just a wonderful experience, you know?
Yeah.
It was a wonderful experience working with Harry. And I learned so much from him. Not that he sat down and told me that this and this and this and this, and this, but he led by example. Harry led by example. You know, you had to keep your eyes open and pay attention. And it wasn't always about the music. It was about how to take care of your business. You know, because the music business is just what it says. It's a business.
Yes.
And I learned a lot, you know, and I'm going to miss him. I did a documentary, and this very rarely happens. When you are doing documentaries or movies like that, then you have to get the permission, pay a lot of money to use the music that you hear in these movies and stuff.
Mm.
You have to pay for that. You have to pay the publishing companies. You have to pay the writers. You have to pay everybody. So I call Harry, and I ask him if, you know, what would it take for me to use portions of the show that we did in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so gracious. He was so gracious. He said, you know what, Spider? You can use whatever you want to use.
Aww.
I'm giving you the green light to use whatever you want to use. He says, if you want to use part of the stuff from Germany, he said, I'm giving you the green light to use 50 seconds of whatever you want. You know, he said, because it's mine, they got to ask me anyway. You know?
All right. And so, he was a serviceman. He was an airman, I believe.
He was an airman?
Yes.
You mean like a Tuskegee airman?
I don't know if he was a Tuskegee airman, but I know that he was an airman.
Oh. No, I wasn't really familiar with that, you know?
Yes. I know he was an airman.
Okay.
Yeah, in the slideshow I have a picture of him in uniform.
Well,
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's something that, given the time, I'll have to ask Mr. Loris Brown, the widow of Larry Brown, if he was a Tuskegee Airman. But I do know he was an airman.
Okay. Okay. That's just wonderful. You know, during my little stint with him, come in, we would do our concerts at night, and in the daytime, he would be out on the front lines with Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yes, I've seen that.
You know, and then we would perform and do concerts at night. You know, and I was like, this guy's something else.
Yes.
You know? And
and an actor. Because he also
I was getting ready to say I was also with him when he and Sidney Poitier did the movie Buck and the Preacher.
Okay.
It was the same thing, you know, during the day he would fly to wherever he had to go and shoot part of the film, and then that night he would come back and we perform on the stage.
Wow.
So I was there when he did several things, you know, and I was so blessed to do that, and I'm glad that I did it.
Yeah.
And that's my story.
Well, it led you on to other great mementos. You worked with Aretha Franklin, and
yes,
so you did your own path, you know, carrying the Detroit sound, and you did it on drums.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing, you know. It was... I was taught that, you know, you have to be a professional. You have to you have to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know? If I'm going to work with Roberta Flack or Rita Franklin or Grover Washington, then I'm going to sit down and I'm going to listen to what they've done.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to stray too far from that because, you know, I wanted to work with those people. It was a funny thing, too, because when I first went with Rita, it was one of those things where I went right from, I was living in California at the time, and I flew to Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and got off of the plane, went into the dressing room with the conductor, and he said, "Spidey, you can't go wrong. All you got to do is watch me." And we got on the stage, and we had a wonderful time. Aretha Franklin turned around and said, "Who the hell is that on drums?" I was like, "It's your neighbor."
Yeah, because you said that y'all are only six blocks. You were only six blocks from her?
Yeah, she lived like on LaSalle Boulevard, you know, and that's right across West Grand Boulevard there. And I lived one block from West Grand Boulevard, you know, and LaSalle was like three or four blocks from there. Yeah, so, we all from the same neighborhood, you know. We all from the same Kim, Martha Reeves, Donna Rosemary, we all from the same area, you know.
Yeah.
And we all came up together. And speaking of Kim, when I decided that I was going to move to California, I got involved with this guy, Leslie Drayton, and they did a documentary. It's called What's Sex?
Yes.
It was a documentary that was put together in coordination with Watts, the community of Watts, and Stax Records. And I found myself on the stage standing behind Kim Weston.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah, and Kim and I often talk about that, you know. Yeah. She did the Black National Anthem.
Yes.
And I was in the house band. So anybody that didn't have a band that came to that festival, then we would perform behind them. So you know, Kim and I worked together, you know, and then Kim and I also did the Smithsonian.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we are part of the Smithsonian. Yeah. I was with the Funk Brothers. You know,
yeah.
The legendary Funk Brothers from Motown.
Yeah.
And we did, I don't know what it was, one or two shows a day, but it was extremely hot. That was a hot year. And, yeah, and Kim was like the lead singer. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great. Miss Kim is a wonderful lady. She truly is. I just love her.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm going to shut up and let Kim go because, you know, I could talk forever.
Well, that's okay. Let me ask you one question before Miss Kim comes on.
Yes.
Now, Pat D'Alefante was also an activist. Now, did you ever witness any of his did you ever witness him in his political stance?
You mean like with Martin Luther King?
Yeah. Well, even just on his own, because he did it up until, a couple of years ago, he was still active?
I didn't really witness that, you know. You know, like I said, most of the stuff that he was doing in that area, we would be on tour, and he would do it in the daytime.
Oh, okay.
And then we would perform at night, you know.
Yeah.
But it's you know, I know he did a lot. You know, I know he did a lot, and the people that he influenced, you know.
Yes.
It's just amazing. Amazing.
Yes, it is.
And I'm talking 60 years ago. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the people, I still talk to a lot of those people, and we say we were so fortunate to go to the school of Belafonte.
All right. Yeah, that has to truly be great. The host of the show, Dry Bones, are you with me?
I am just in complete awe. I am loving every minute of this. Oh, my God. I'm a musician myself, so this is so awe-inspiring. He said the funk brother. He asked about everybody. I would ask him, but I just want to know, are you still playing? Obviously, I'm hoping that you still are.
Well, see, here's what happened. The very thing that I love is the thing that brought me down. So what I'm saying is that I'm basically self-taught. Nobody told me that I had to sit a certain way on the drum. I had to keep my back straight.
Mm-hmm.
I had to strut. Because drums is a very physical instrument.
Know
that.
Yes.
You know, it's a very physical instrument. And what happened was 50, 60 years of being bent over and not having good posture, you know, affected my hamstrings, I wound up having two herniated discs, a bulging disc, and a bad sciatica, which prevented me from playing at this particular time. But I do plan on coming back, you know, but,
maybe we can set up some type of one, because you should be basically on either on one of these programs that we can show, because you're history, you're living history, and
yes, he is.
That's something that's missing today, because today's musician, give me your thoughts on how you perceive today's music, because I grew up with Stanley Clarke.
Oh.
George Benson and Parliament and Rick James. I'm from Buffalo, so when you say Canada,
doggone right. We're from the meat and potato days.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, you know, we got into when we went to the studio, or we rehearsed for a job. There was no electronics. There was nothing helping us out. We had to work it out.
That's right.
You know, so, but nowadays, you know, one guy can go in his basement and do everything.
Right.
You know, and that's the way the music sounds, you know, it's so electronic and stuff. But, you know, we are the last of its kind, and hopefully it's going to come back around. But, you know,
It is.
Yeah. You know, when we went to the studio, you know, there was no such thing as a click track.
Right.
You know, this is to keep your line and keep the time right. And my whole thing was, I was telling Antoinette earlier, you know, I got into trouble when I went to California because I opened my mouth. I would say things. You know, I tell the truth. I said, wait a minute now. You want me to play to this metronome? I say, that's my job is to keep time.
Is to keep time, right. They always blame the drummer. They always blame the drummer for if we go too fast or too slow, it's the drummer's fault. But go ahead. You know what I'm talking about.
you're absolutely right, but that was my, and I can put on tracks now that I've done with a lot of different people. You know, I've done a lot of different albums, you know, at least 60 for 60 different artists. And we didn't have click tracks back in the day. You know, we went in the studio and we did it. And our job was to keep time. And if you couldn't do it, goodbye, we'd get the next guy. You know, but
right.
We didn't have electronics to rely on, and that's the problem that I see with today's music. They've like taken the creativity away.
No, when music was real.
Yeah.
When music was real music.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nothing. I was just going to say back in the day, and Kim can tell you this, back in the day, you know, we go and we do 15 tunes in a session, you know, $5 a song.
That was
back in the Motown days, but there was no click tracks with that stuff. When I played on Cloud Nine and Runaway Child and Don't Let the Joneses Get You Down and Keep on Trucking and Boogie Down, there was no click tracks. You know, that's, you know, we played it and we kept time. You know, and see, everybody can't do that. You know, everybody can.
Right.
You know, I was taught to play what the producer wants. Play what he wants, you know. Understand where he's coming from. Understand the groove. Understand the feel of the music. Play that. Now here's the key. You got to be able to put yourself into it as well.
Right.
Now, when you can do that, everybody's happy. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy because I'm able to play a little bit of what I want. The producer's happy because I'm giving him what he wants, you know, and I'm supporting everybody else in the band, the bass, me and the bass, you know. I mean, everybody can't do that. Everybody can't do
I'm loving you so much because you sound so you make me feel very inspired because I'm self-taught. I learned by watching other drummers, following
there
them and all that. I'm from Buffalo. We had Grover, we had Spira Gyra, we had Rick James, we had all kind of people we woke up watching, and it's something to hear from you to make me feel like wow, I'm talking to one of the greatest, some of the greatest. In my mind, you one of the greatest drummers because if you played with the Funk Brothers and all the albums you've been on, you part of the iconic great drummer. So I appreciate that. I'd like to get you and Miss Kim to come on our Sunday show, and we're going to do a tribute to music with Ray Fauntleroy if we can get all that to happen. But I'm going to regress because I just want to hear from all of y'all tonight, and it's a pleasure to have y'all on our network. Appreciate that so much. Antoinette, what a wonderful show. Wonderful show.
Thank you.
And I live in Miami, Brother Spider. It's a lot of Latin down here in Miami. I play percussion. I know.
You know, you mentioned Buffalo, and back in the day, I don't know how old you are or if you remember this, but I was with a group, and we were playing the Killing Circuit, and one of the places that we played in Buffalo was called the Pine Grill.
Still happens. The Pine Grill Reunion still goes on. I was there last
year.
Get out of here. On Michigan and William Street.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Yes, indeedy. It still exists. Still exists today.
Oh.
Sure does. That's a wonderful
thing. You and I could talk for hours, brother.
Oh, I plan to get your number behind the scene, and I'm planning, if we can get together, I'd love to do a documentary on that because I am a drummer for life. That's one of the only professions I can get old, die playing the music. That's one thing I could possibly do. So that's all I can tell you. But love this show. Love it. We'll talk later, my brother. Appreciate your love for this.
All right.
And Miss Kim, you've been neglected, Dry Bones. I hope you're listening. You ain't been, I've called you a few times. I'll get back to you.
Okay. Ms. Kim, if you have yourself on mute. Okay, while we're waiting for Ms. Kim, I'm going to play one of Harry Belafonte's songs.
Okay.
Okay. Since you talked about him drumming all over.
We'll be right back. come from the fire, living in the fire. Go back to the fire, turn the world around. We come from the fire, living in the fire. Go back to the fire, turn the world around. We come from the fire, living in the fire. Go back to the fire, turn the world around. We come from the water, living in the water. Go back to the water, turn the world around. We come from the water, living in the water. Go back to the water, turn the world around. We come from the water, living in the water. Go back to the water, turn the world around. And living on the mountain, go back to the mountain, turn the world around. We come from the mountain, and living on the mountain, go back to the mountain, turn the world around. We come from the mountain, and living on the mountain, go back to the mountain, turn the world around.
Watch the mountain fire, make the sunlight turn the world around.
Water up the river, party in the mountain, spirit in the sunlight, turn the world around.
We are of the spirit,
truly of the spirit,
only can the spirit turn the world around.
We are of the spirit,
truly of the spirit,
only can the spirit turn the world around.
Oh, Spider, now did you play with him on that song?
No, but I played that song with him.
Oh,
I didn't play that particular version, but I have played Turn the World Around, and it was one of the first songs that I had to play in 5/4 time. And the first thing that I heard when the record first started playing was all of this percussion stuff, you know, the talking drums, the congas, the bongos, the drums. And they had another instrument in there called the Benenbau. Are you familiar with what the Benenbau is?
No, I'm not. I've never heard of it.
Yes, it's just a, you know, it's just a Latin percussion. You know, it's a percussion instrument, you know, but it's played with a bow and it has a string on it. Getting sounds like that. And the thing about Harry is that he knew every little thing that was supposed to be played in each song that he did.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
Yeah, he was really amazing, you know. And he sang in all these different languages, and is because when I did the concert in Germany, there was a lady that was on the show. Her name was Nana Mascuri, and she was German, and Harry could not speak the language, but he could sing in that foreign language, which was very interesting, you know.
Yeah.
So the guy was he was a very prolific guy, you know.
Yeah.
He was really something.
Wow.
Yeah.
I bet he was. We have Miss Kim with us now. Miss Kim?
Yes, ma'am. I've been here all the time.
And yeah, we have Miss Kim Weston, who also sang with Harry Belafonte.
I sang on the show.
Pardon me?
I sang on his show. I didn't sing with him. He and I didn't sing together.
Okay, forgive me. I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just letting you know what I was on the show. I was an artist on the show.
Yes.
Dolores Hall and her singers were on there. And that was in 68, I believe. When were you with him, Spider?
I was with him 69, 70, 71, and part of 72.
Mm, okay. Well,
so,
you came right after
yeah.
I left. Uh-huh. We were at Caesar's Palace. The people from Hallelujah Baby came and offered me the position. And to God be the glory, I rehearsed in 10 days and did the show.
I understand. Yeah. Yes, yes. So you were like the leading lady, right?
Oh, yeah, I played Georgina. Uh-huh. With Adam Wade and Julius Soroka.
Oh, well,
go ahead, John.
Miss Kim, what was your experience like with him? What type of man was he?
Well, he's definitely a man of integrity. He's a man of his word, in other words.
Yeah.
When I met him here in Detroit at Cobo Hall. Congressman Conyers, John Conyers, fundraiser for his campaign, and he had Harry Belafonte, Cannonball at the Massacre, a great job. That's when I met Harry. And I can't remember what I was doing when I went to New York and he invited me to. But I knew that would be an experience. The tours at Motown, nobody knew what they were doing. You know, so.
Yeah.
That Kirtland circuit, like the Green Book, the professionals during that time knew where to go and what to do. They knew the best places to go. They could perform for the white people, but they couldn't sleep or eat where they were.
Yes.
So they not only had to have a decent place, they had to have a safe place. And that green book was like some construction. And Harry, I don't believe he ever worked with kidnapped.
You don't think he ever did what?
Was the Chitlin' Circuit.
Oh, I don't know.
What'd you say?
I don't think he ever worked the Chitlin' Circuit, no.
I also worked with Billy Eckstein. Billy Eckstein worked with Chitlin' Circuit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of those old singers and old musicians, you know, that was the only way that they could make a living was to go out and play, because very few of them was getting royalties from the songs that they did. So you had to work, you know, and the Chitlin' Circuit was available, that's for sure.
I'm just saying, everybody was in a different class. Like, everybody
Absolutely.
Knew Nina Horn didn't work in the black community. I met Nina Horn. Well, I met her in London, but I met her in a more casual situation with Harry.
I had the pleasure of meeting Nina Horn as well. And, you know, there was some heavy entertainers and actors, man. There was something else.
And that's what I'm saying to you. That's a class of entertainment that the average black person doesn't get to see.
That's right. That's right, Kel. You're
that's
absolutely
why I was saying
right.
That about, you know, that's why I was saying, I know Harry Belafonte. They had to go away from the black community to see Harry Belafonte.
Okay.
Okay, he didn't work the jazz club. You know what I'm saying? He didn't work the jazz club. And I was with him for 3 months, and most of that was in Canada.
Mhm. Mm-hmm.
But I learned a lot about production, you know.
Yeah. I was truly amazed. I don't know how you saw it, Kim, but the concerts and the stuff that I was doing with Harry. 90% of his audience was white.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing that, you know, I don't know if the black community really appreciated him that way.
That's what I'm telling you. They didn't know
him. Yeah. Exactly, Kim. You know, but here's the thing that Harry was. You know, you know, at night, his audience was 90% white. At 12 o'clock the next day, he was on the front line with Dr. Martin Luther King. But then same white people would come that night and see him sing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, he's protesting against them, and they come and see him.
Well,
but one thing, he was married to a Jewish woman.
Yeah, I've seen that, yes.
Yeah, well, yeah. Harry looked at it that way, as black and white. Because I remember a song that he did. It was called Black and White Together. Black and white together, we must learn to love one another. Black and white together. But I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's hard to explain why.
He saw people as people.
Absolutely. That's what I think.
I don't care who he is, if you're black, he's black. You gotta have pride in yourself. But in this society, if you're black, you're black. I don't care how many white women you get, you're still black.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, but
that doesn't change.
Yeah, but I just learned so much from him. I just learned so much from him just by watching him, and seeing how he handled his business. And this guy's something else.
He asked me, "What could he do for me?" I said, "I'd like to do the Johnny Carson show." 2 days I've known Johnny. He called right then, picked up the phone and called me. 2 days from that, I was on Johnny Carson.
Wow.
Yeah, I do understand, Kel. Like I mentioned earlier about being from the school of Belafonte, when I left Harry, I was ready for the world. I was ready for the world, and I got into so many different situations, high-profile situations that I never thought that I would be in because of my time with Harry, it was definitely an education.
Well, let me ask y'all this first. Miss Kim, Spider talked about how he played behind you when you sang the national anthem, the black national anthem.
There you go.
I sung
Lift Every Voice. Yes,
I sung Star Spangled Banner and I sung Lift Every Voice.
Yes, when you did Lift Every Voice.
Right, Lift Every Voice.
I sung the Star Spangled Banner and Lift Every Voice.
And Watch Stacks, that's right.
Yes, and you did a great job. Miss Kim, did you know that he sang behind you?
Did I know what?
That he was behind you playing?
Well, the young man that he's talking about, Leslie, about Leslie, his first pass six. Did you know that?
Wow.
You bought who his first pass six?
Leslie.
Oh.
About his first
pass six. Leslie Drayton?
Yes.
Oh, I was in Leslie's band.
This was before he had a band. He was learning.
Oh.
And I
remember, he turned out to be a wonderful trumpet player.
I know he's a beautiful young man. I like his personality. And I'm very
pop. Yes.
I'm very pop. Okay, we were talking about Lift Every Voice, and I'm going to play this really quick for y'all. This is Miss Kim Weston.
Mr. Kim Weston, the Black National Anthem.
Till love and heaven ring with a whole full of the pain that the dark past has caused. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of new champions, let us march on till victory is won. Don't need the road.
Difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Well, I'm sure that Harry Belafonte is with them in the promised land as well.
Absolutely.
That he's finished his race and he can, you know, hear God say, "Well done, my well and faithful servant."
Mm-hmm.
You know, Antoinette, I just released the album, This is America. That's the album that Lift Every Voice is on. And Harry said, "Well, bring some albums and my people will take care of them for you." You know, for 3 months I could not get one album.
Oh, no.
And he had sellout crowds. He had sellout crowds every night.
Oh, my. Wow.
I could not get an album from the record company. I was with MGM. And that's because it scared them. There were 300,000 people there. When I started singing the city boys, and they did that clenched fist, it scared me.
Yeah. So now, Spider, was that you on the drums in the beginning of the song that we heard?
I don't know.
That's the actual performance, Spider.
Yeah.
From What's That?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought it was me. You know, I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Till you thought it was me.
So we were fortunate, y'all, to have both of them together so you can hear Miss Kim and Mr. Spider both doing what they're known for.
Listen, so, there was somebody else there that was from Detroit, too, wasn't it, Kim? It was, let's see, Little Sonny was there.
But I watched it. Everybody from Stacks was there. Andrew Cave, Rufus Stump, the Barcades.
I was speaking about people that was from Detroit. Me, you, Little Sonny, and the Ranch Ellen.
That group was there. Huh?
Yeah.
The club was singing behind Isaac.
So Detroit was represented at Wasatch, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. You heard me say Pat Lewis was there because he was singing behind Ivy. Hot Butter Show.
Yep. Yep. Well, this has been a wonderful interview.
Yes. Now, there's another song of his that I want to play, a famous song of his that I think everybody knows.
Thank you. ABC 7 New York. This is Eyewitness News Extra Time.
Remembering a true American icon, Harry Belafonte has died at the age of 96. Even if you think you don't know Harry Belafonte, you know Harry Belafonte.
Lift six and seven and eight and punch.
Fittingly born in 1927 in Harlem, Belafonte became the Harlem Renaissance personified.
I and my brothers and sisters were the first to be educated.
In the 1950s, he broke down barriers and jump-started new eras in both music and film. But being a true Renaissance man, his massive cultural impact will only be a piece of his legacy. If Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was the heart of the civil rights movement in the United States, Belafonte was the backbone, supporting the fight for equal rights for black Americans using his own money and influence.
If history is any measure, then I'd probably wind up on the right side of the equation.
Tonight, we dig deeper into the amazing life of Harry Belafonte, from his deep connection to New York City to his achievements across entertainment and advocacy, which will continue to be felt for generations to come. Good evening and welcome to this edition of Eyewitness News Extra Time. I'm Joe Torres. Harry Belafonte died this morning in his home on Manhattan's Upper West Side of congestive heart failure. He lived nearly a century, but his list of accomplishments is long and broad enough for several lifetimes. Tonight we celebrate the New York native's three distinct life endeavors, those of a singer, actor, and activist. Entertainment reporter Sandy Kenyon starts us off with a look back at Belafonte's life and legacy.
He was called the King of Calypso, but became a Prince of Peace and a moral beacon for all of us.
My social activism, things that I believed in politically.
Harry Belafonte's activism eventually overshadowed his work as a singer. But he was the first solo artist to sell a million albums and spent more than half a year on the top of the charts with the Banana Boat song. He was a gifted actor even before that, earning a Tony Award for his debut on Broadway, becoming the first black American to win an Emmy for his TV work, after paving the way for others in the movies.
Cut that out.
Belafonte was born in Harlem to immigrants from Jamaica in 1927. He said watching his parents struggle awakened in him a passion for social justice.
I felt that since the earliest days of my real understanding of what it meant to be poor. Poverty clarified that for me.
As one of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s closest confidants, he helped plan the March on Washington in 1963.
As artists and as human beings, we rejoice in the knowledge that human experience has no color.
In 1968, Belafonte took over The Tonight Show for an entire week, as shown in a recent documentary.
Harry Belafonte, at 11 o'clock late night, was saying, we're here, we're Americans, we're part of this, we're not going anywhere.
Belafonte was the father of four children from two marriages. His daughter, Sherry Belafonte, followed in the footsteps of a man who transcended show business to become a true statesman.
If history is any measure, then I'd probably wind up on the right side of the equation.
Sadie Kenyon, Channel 7, Eyewitness News.
Harry Belafonte was a lot of things to a lot of different people, but make no mistake, he was a New Yorker. Today in the city where he was born, the tributes poured in. The message on the marquee outside the Apollo Theater in Harlem honored Belafonte. Eyewitness News reporter Kimberly Richardson has more on that part of the story.
A final salute from a caregiver as Harry Belafonte's body is transferred out of his home here on the Upper West Side. His wife, Pam, by his side.
He was a wonderful, wonderful man and had a beautiful journey and did a lot of good for a lot of people. And he's in a very peaceful place.
Belafonte's son David, his wife and two kids saying, to the world he was a legend, but to us he was dad. Gina Belafonte sharing this beautiful picture, calling her father her guiding light, a complicated dad who lived one of the fullest lives in human history. The 96-year-old's reach and impact, both far and strong. The reason Sarah came here, her family is from Cuba.
Endurance across the different phases of American life are so transformative, and he worked at a lot of different intersections.
Mayor Eric Adams saying Belafonte didn't just speak truth to power, he shouted it, he sang it, he made people listen to that truth. Reverend Al Sharpton calling his friend an unmatchable intellectual, something former Congressman Charles Rangel knows all too well. The pair, along with Dr. King, marched 54 miles from Selma to Montgomery.
You would think that he walked on water when he was president of the group, but a more gentle guy except when he had the fire of what had to be done.
That tenacity, Colin Kaepernick thanking Belafonte for mentoring and guiding him, sharing Belafonte's own words, quote, movements don't die because struggle doesn't die. Pam tells me that desire to do the right thing, fight the good fight, even in his final days, Belafonte was unstoppable.
Right till the end.
Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. That's who Harry was.
On the Upper West Side, Kimberly Richardson, Channel 7, Eyewitness News.
Now a closer look at Belafonte's life as an activist and advocate for civil rights. You just heard from former New York Congressman Charlie Rangel. He sat down with Eyewitness News anchor Sandra Bookman today. He told her he hopes Belafonte's accomplishments in this area do not get swept under the rug. Rangel also detailed the last conversation he had with his friend.
I think that people don't know just how important he was to the movement. Not the money, not the starter, but the fire. And I don't know how he did it. But whether he was talking with presidents, governors, Dr. King, or the leaders of the world, or someone in Lenox Avenue in a basement about what we were going to do next, it was Harry Belafonte. And he was not one that looked for the press conference except where it was needed. The depth of his commitment to the world and to our country is totally unbelievable when you see he's lauded for the banana song and calypsos and his acting ability, just a world that's out there. But the Harry Belafonte that I was mesmerized by is the eloquence of his expression of how important it was to bring our country and our people together. And I don't truly believe, and it's hard for me to know, that he's remembered for his work in civil rights as much as he is for Deo.
You said you had a chance to speak with him recently. Tell me a little bit about that visit, and how did you find him?
I found him so fiery. And talking about what we had to do, and I felt so awkward because I realized my physical handicaps. And I also, of course, like most people, you always feel inadequate when he tells you what we have to do, because nobody has the energy that he had and had demonstrated and just stimulated people to do things that they didn't believe that they could do. And so I was more awed and taken back at the degree of his energy when his voice was fragile. He was using a walker like I did. And I was so pleased when I was getting ready to leave that his wife winked at me, and she says, you know, we're not doing those things. And I was so pleased because I knew I couldn't do it. But the moral of the story was his mind was still out there encouraging me to do more with other people to see what we had to do, that the battle had no way been completed. And I just felt so good wherever we've been at meetings that we never got a chance to speak, and he'll be sitting there and I would be sitting here and we didn't have to say a word because everyone at that meeting would sense the urgency of his time and what we had to do and how proud we were to be associated with him. We've lost a great person, and we can sing all the songs and see the old movies, but the civil rights movement would never have the excitement that it did without Harry Belafonte.
Wow. Well, that was a tribute to Harry Belafonte and the announcement of his passing.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
That was, wasn't it?
Why does he have people just have to be with him at night. But because of Lift Every Voice, a lot of times I had to go with him.
And that was good. That was a good thing that he brought you along. Knowing that you were also with him, Spider, that you know, you were able to play drums and everything for him, and just the influence that he has had over both of your lives.
Everything was in place and everything was on time.
Yes, it was.
And I mentioned that earlier. I didn't know anything about Calypso or reggae, but he saw the potential in me. And he gave me the freedom to be myself. Yeah, be yourself. You know what I'm saying? Everything else is going to work out because you can play. You know? And he gave me that freedom and he gave me that confidence. Confidence that I didn't know that I had. You know, I didn't know that I could do that kind of stuff. But he showed me that I could. You know, you can do whatever you want to do.
Yes, and that's true. I mean, he was truly an inspirational man
and a great actor.
He was a great actor.
Yeah, and like Michael was saying, you know, he influenced so many people. So many people and helped so many people, you know, to find their way and to find out what they were about, you know?
Yes.
You know, and
isn't he important in death?
Pardon?
Huh? Okay, wasn't he important in death?
Could have been, I don't know. I don't know, you know, he did so much, you know?
But I mean, that was so powerful. I'm talking about that was one of the things that opened the door. It really opened the door. For blacks on stage.
You know, because Harry went back, you know, when I was, my goodness. When I was born, Harry was in the business. You know, so I have no idea of the stuff that he, of all of the stuff that he did, you know, none whatsoever. But I know that he really helped a lot of people and, you know, he changed the way people thought about things and, you know, just a wonderful human being.
Yes, well, in summary of him, could both of y'all sum it up to what was the greatest pivotal that you remember and how he has impacted each of your lives and how he has impacted the world? Who wants to go first?
Well, he gave me strength. He gave me strength and saying you can do whatever you want to do. You can play, you know. You just have to listen and pay attention. You know, don't be a problem. You know, be a part of the solution. You know,
yeah.
And when we play this music, that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing. You know, he taught me, you know, how to be a professional musician, a truly professional musician. You know, and I will always love him for that. I respect that. And like I said, I learned so much, and I'm passing it on. Stuff that I learned, I'm passing it right on.
And now let me ask you this. What is your favorite song that he did?
That's a tough question because I don't have any. So all of these he did was so great. You know, like I was just blown back. I was just so amazed at the amount of material that he knew.
Yes.
And how he remembered everything. Not only
he was on the spot, wasn't he?
He knew what everybody was supposed to be playing. He knew what all the voices were supposed to be. He knew all of that. And don't for 1 minute think that you could put something off on him, because you couldn't. You know, because if we did something different than what we were supposed to be doing, then, oh boy, there was a meeting in the green room that night, and he took your whole day the next day rehearsing.
Wow.
You know, so he was a true inspiration. He was just a true inspiration to everybody.
Yes, wow. Miss Kim, the same question.
Was Bill Eaton there? Was Bill Eaton and Ralph there when you were there?
On the first one, the one that I did, the very first one I did in 1969, Bill Eaton was the conductor and Ralph McDonald was the cooler player, was the percussionist.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The music, Motown is Motown. What can I say about Motown? Like I said, we did not know what we were doing. You know?
Right.
And when we went on the road, the first place I went was Washington, D.C. to the Howard Theater. The Temptations and the Vandellas. And they're playing the music is $5 inside. And I think they were giving the artists about $10-$15 for per diem. They football players. How are they gonna eat on $15?
Right.
And that's because they didn't know what they were doing.
Miss Kim, your favorite song by Harry Belafonte?
I can't remember the name of it. So that one is Dale.
Okay. And the impact that he had on your life?
Everything I've been saying is the impact that he had on me. Because, like I said, Motown didn't know what they were doing. And I felt my going with him, because I took a cut in pay to go with him, because I wanted to see the production, and I saw it.
Yeah.
And it was just as I thought it should be. And I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about the movement of the equipment. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the wardrobe mysteries. Look, I didn't have any. Had to move the equipment. And he looked after his people. That's what I'm saying. He took care of his people. I know, I don't remember what the celebration was, but he rented out a restaurant. This was for the cast and crew. And that was the first time I had been in the presence, you know, of anything like that.
Yeah. Well, he was truly a great man. Just
absolutely.
A couple of years away from being a century years old.
Yeah.
No, 4 years. So he did a lot over his lifetime. And, you know, he's given all of us so much. that we truly have to be grateful for. And with that, I'm going to play his farewell song.
Like I said, moment. I think it's a nice thing with Johnny Cocker. I get that.
Okay, this is his song, and then I have some announcements to make. Oh, okay, here we go.
Down the way where the nights are gay and the sun shines daily on the mountain top, I took a trip on a sailing ship. When I reached Jamaica, I made a stop, but I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head's turning around. I had to leave a little girl. Had to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston town. Down at the market, you can hear ladies cry out while on their heads they bear. Ackee rice, salt fish are nice, and the zoo is fine any time of year, but I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston town. Sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my sounds of laughter everywhere and the dancing girls swing to and fro. I must declare my heart is there though I've been from Maine to Mexico. Still I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down. Sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. Yet my heart is down, my head is turning around. Had to leave a little girl in Kingston town. Down the way where the nights are gay and the sun shines daily on the mountain top, I took a trip on a sailing ship. When I reached Jamaica, they made a stop, but I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head's turning around. Had to leave a little girl in Kingston town. Sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. Sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave her little girl in Kingston town.
So is that his farewell to us all?
That was a very fitting song.
Yes, it was. Thank you so much, Antoinette, and thank you, Spider, for coming in last Wednesday. And thank you, family, for listening.
Yes,
Spider. I said, you got to be quieter back then so the family can talk to him.
Yes, I would really like that. I truly would. Let me say this. Tomorrow night, we will have with us Ms. Dolores Brown, and she's going to touch on the banking situation from someone who knows what's actually going on and can explain this to us, because we're truly in a dire situation with everything, you know, with our finances, with housing, because this also covers the mortgage, the things that are going on today, the stock market's been, and everything. So that'd be tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern time. And if anybody has a question or a comment, if you press 1, we can take your calls, and you know, you can, okay, just a moment. Okay. And we have Ms. Dolores Brown with us. Hello, Ms. Dolores.
Good evening, everyone. Hi, Ms. Bessie. And hello, Mrs. Spider. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. Every day is a good day.
Thank you guys for tonight. That was a really interesting and a nice tribute.
Yes.
Antoinette Harry Belafonte was in World War II, but he was in the Navy. He was a sailor.
Okay.
Dropped out of high school because he had a learning disability. He had dyslexia, and he was frustrated with high school, so he dropped out of high school and joined the Navy, and he was in the Navy from 1944 to 45.
Oh, thank you.
And Miss Weston is right. He was in Porgy and Bess. You are right. He was in Porgy and Bess.
Okay. He's the one that was on that little board, wasn't he?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
That's right.
And I never thought of that before.
I hadn't thought about it until you mentioned it. But he was. And, you know, it brings back another interesting thing, because I think you ladies, I don't know about Mr. Spider, but I know Miss Weston and Antoinette, we talk about the Tuskegee Airmen all the time. And I know you guys, I'm sure you heard about the movie that came out in January, I think of this year, about the Black Navy aviator in World War II that we knew nothing about. And I think it was Tyler Perry that just made the movie in January or February. Now this brings this brings back another interesting this death of Harry Belafonte brings back another interesting point, because here is another Black gentleman that was in World War II in the Navy that has not gotten credit, like these other guys we're finding that were in the Navy during World War II that we knew nothing about.
That's
so
right.
So those are stories that will never get told, unfortunately.
That's right.
Yes. The more we have
these conversations, the more we learn. That's why I think these conversations are so good and healthy for us, because we learn a lot. You know, he served his country in World War II as a Navy sailor, and we didn't even know.
Didn't know nothing about him. Can you say something about the Marines?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
the Marines. I'm talking like the group. Most people have never even heard of them. The Point Marie, but was
the Montfort Point Marie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were a group of, you're right, most people haven't heard about them. Them and the Buffalo Soldiers. A lot of them have know more about the Buffalo Soldiers than they do the Montford Point Marines. But that's another group that are just getting recognition for all their efforts as well. They never got recognized at all.
Can you tell us about the...
And you're right, we still haven't really recognized the Buffalo Soldiers yet. With any kind of medal or anything, they're still not recognized. The Montford Point Marines have received congressional gold medals.
They have?
Yes, ma'am, they have.
But the Buffalo Soldiers haven't?
No, ma'am, they have not.
Ain't nobody even heard of the Montford Point Marines.
And my husband, Larry's grandfather, was a Buffalo Soldier. He was in the 10th Cavalry. I have his picture hanging on the wall here. I didn't know what it was until Larry told me that that was his grandfather and that was his Buffalo. He was in the Buffalo Soldiers in the 10th Cavalry. But nobody ever recognized those folks.
Wow.
I don't know now that they ever will be.
But actually, Ms. Brown, that's our responsibility.
Well, you're absolutely right.
I do not expect my enemy to give me good advice.
No. And you know, Larry and Harry Belafonte were the same age, 96 years old. So Larry's grandfather would have to be a lot older. Larry tried to find out as much as he could about his grandfather and the 10th Cavalry and the Buffalo Soldiers, and he did extensive research, but they didn't keep good records. Nothing was archived, so we couldn't find anything except the only thing we have is his discharge papers from the military. And I attach that to the back of the photograph so when I'm gone, you know, his grandchildren will know that was their great-great-grandfather. But other than that, we couldn't find anything out about him.
Yeah. Well, so Harry Belafonte was also in the war as a Navy man.
Yes, he was in World War II as a Navy person.
Wow.
And we're just finding out, as I said, that that many black people were in the Navy in World War II. We did not know that.
Yeah,
but they weren't in the Navy, were they?
Ma'am?
I said they were not letting them in the Navy.
They were not, but now we're finding out that there are quite a few in there. And it's still, and the one that did the most research was Tyler Perry to do this movie. I can't remember the name of it. I saw it in around Valentine Day. It was a beautiful tribute to the Black Aviator. But nobody else had talked about them. But apparently there were a large number.
Yes.
So
wow.
With Harry Belafonte, it triggered my interest to find out more.
Tyler Perry finally doing something like that. That's been my problem with him. But we're not supporting.
You're absolutely right. But you know, Ms. Weston, I find that across the board. You know, because with Larry's dad playing in baseball in the old Negro Baseball League, and a lot of civil rights and activist stuff they did, you never hear those Negro players talked about and the stance they took and the towns they wouldn't play in and all of that because of the they couldn't stay in the hotels and that kind of thing. But nobody ever talks about that. That you know who talks about it is the white people that I see on Facebook putting pictures of my father-in-law up and other Negro players that I know, I see them up on the page. But do I see us telling the story? No. I'm telling my father-in-law, but other than that, most people don't do it. I don't know why.
Well, I don't know.
The only spouses living that I know and she's 98 years old. All the others have passed away, and I don't know why the children don't. These children nowadays don't have an interest in our history.
See, excuse me, but that's that's exactly why I did the documentary that I did. You know, because I wanted my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, I wanted them to know been doing and the influence that I had. You know,
see, you did the same thing my husband did. In 1994, my husband went to University of Memphis and did a documentary called Black Diamonds, Blue City. And they invited all the old Negro baseball players that were still alive to come to University of Memphis. And they stayed 8 days, and we lost one during the making of that film. But my husband documented all of those that were still alive that came. And that's the only thing we have of all of them. They're all gone now.
Yeah.
But had he not done that documentary, we wouldn't even have it.
You know, I just recently found out that my grandfather had five brothers. I didn't know that. For some reason.
See, I didn't know anything about my grandmother and my grandfather had sisters and brothers that I never knew about.
Yeah, see, I don't want my kids to go through that. You know, I want them to know exactly what I've been doing, you know? And I just hope that they do the right things with it. It's going to be in their hands when I'm gone. You know, I didn't want somebody else to tell tell my story. I wanted to tell my story while I was alive. I didn't want nobody else to tell them it.
Mm-hmm. But as I say, I run across, and with my Tuskegee Airmen, I will tell you this. I know a lot of their children, and their children don't have any respect for what their fathers did. I know one gentleman, and he gave his son his congressional gold medal, and the next day his son took that gold medal and went to the pawn shop and pawned it for $40, and he lost it.
Ain't that something?
Didn't you say they had to pay for that?
Medal. They didn't. They had to pay for their medals. They didn't give them no medal. That's the biggest misconception that America say. Oh, well, President Bush gave them the Congressional Gold Medal. He didn't give them anything. They had to pay their way there, and they had to buy their medals. So if we're going to tell a story, that's just the truth, you know?
That's crazy, but that's the way it is. It's just like,
that's the way it is.
You know, if you play on a record, you know, and a gold record, you know, you would think that the record companies would give you a gold record for your efforts and for your work. But you have to pay for it.
You do?
You have to pay for your gold record. If you want to star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, it's going to cost you $50,000.
Yes, what?
$50,000. Martha Reeves is fighting right now, you know, to get her name on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Why is she fighting to get that? They should give it to her. She's earned it.
Right. Everybody has to pay. Somebody got to pay $25,000 to get your name on there, and $25,000 for maintenance.
Oh my God.
That's absolutely crazy.
I never knew that till Miss Kim told me.
I
did not know that until tonight, but they have a way of blocking us every chance they get, don't they?
That's right. Oh, we got to pay $50 to have our name in a piece of cement. That's just absolutely insane.
I'm with you on that, brother. No. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. And Kim knows it. Kim should not be wanting for nothing right now.
No, she's true.
Absolutely.
He shouldn't be one for nothing. You know?
Absolutely.
They should give Kim Wilson whatever she wants.
Yes.
That's
right. Yes.
She paid her dues.
Yes.
She paid her dues and Miss Kim is still always fighting.
Yes.
That's why when I wanted to use some footage from the concert that I did in Germany with Harry Belafonte, I called Harry, you know, and he was so gracious, and he said, hey, listen, whatever you want to use, use it. It's mine. I wrote it. I own it. And I'm giving you the green light to use whatever you want to use. You know?
Yeah. And how many of them do we have like that?
Not too many. Because if you want to use footage or music in a film, you have to pay. You have to pay the publishing company, and it's not cheap. They want you $3,000, $3,000 for 10 seconds. You know, it's outrageous.
My God.
But, you know, that's the kind of guy the Belafonte was. You know, he
mm-hmm. That speaks to his character and, like Tim said, his integrity.
Right. He helped everybody. If he could help you, he would, you know.
Yeah, we don't have enough of them out there, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I've been trying to remember what I was doing before I started working with Harry. One thing I know, I was with Jesse Jackson and Operation Breadbasket, and Harry was there.
Oh, okay.
Well, I know you missed him, and I tried to call you a couple of times, but I couldn't get you, so I missed you.
Well, nice. Thank you. Thank you.
Yesterday, I was thinking about you, so I called.
Oh,
were you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this has been very enlightening.
It was a very wonderful show.
Yes.
If we get a minute, I want to talk about the bugle band you all did when you were young.
The drum and bugle band
you all had.
Oh, yes.
You heard from Kennedy at the Eastern Market.
With George McGregor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old were you then?
I don't know. I was 12 or 13 years old. You know, but we had the only black drum and bugle corps time. This was in the late 50s and the early 60s. We did all of the parades, Emancipation Day Parade, Thanksgiving Day Parade, all the, 4th of July, you know, and we didn't have the sponsorship that all of the white drum and bugle corps had. You know, they had all sparkly, wonderful uniforms. You know, we had stuff that our parents had to put together, you know, and with an old yellow school bus. And these guys came up driving up in a big, wonderful bus, you know, and, you know, but, hey, you know, I was pleased to be part of that, you know. This is the only black drum and bugle corps that was around.
Wow.
And that was in the late 50s, around 59. 1960, just before I graduated from high school. It was just a wonderful experience.
I have so many things different... like that are not happening now.
No, they're not.
Well, these kids, you know, That's one of the problems too. You know, we don't have programs and the same interests in our children and making sure that they succeed and making sure that they're in the right environment. You know, my mother used to put us in the car, take us to the Eastern Market. We practice, and you know, just unfortunate that we didn't have the support, you know, that we needed to be successful. And it had nothing to do.
But that laid the groundwork for you, Will, didn't it?
Yeah.
Right. But you know, now I find that I spent almost every day. It wasn't a day that went by that I didn't see my grandmother, my grandfather, and like they called it, keeping them company. But my grandchildren don't want to come keep me company. You know, they want to do something else. Why would they want to come hang out with me when they can go drive their new sports car and do something else? It's a different generation. They're not interested in hearing our stories.
Well, not only that, but we had music classes in the schools.
Yes, true.
In the community center. In the community center, you know, we used to get together and play music, get together, stand on the corner and sing. You know, we had so much stuff that we could do, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that they literally took the music out of the schools.
Yes.
You know, and
you know, often things like that, home, is home ec still in there?
Is what?
I haven't seen it on any curriculum. Nobody wants you to teach them how to cook anymore.
Something that they have to get from home. But you know, with my grandparents, now my father's parents, I was with them all week. You know, I've seen them all week long, every day. My mother's parents, I've seen them all through the weekend. So, see, my whole life, it was always grandparents, you know, my grandparents and aunts and uncles and everything.
That's right.
Yeah,
you know, that's when we had close families, you know.
That's right.
I had so many cousins, but I knew all of my cousins. Now, ask me if I know my cousins' children. That's a different story.
I don't know them. No, I would be telling a lie if I said I did.
And I wouldn't know who they were. You know, it's sad that, you know, we lost that because, you know, that's something that we truly had. And,
yes.
You know, it's like I said, and my grandfather was, as I told you, Ms. Brown, that he was one on the National Baseball League as well. And they got recognized in Delaware. The year after he died, they got their recognition doubled.
Yes. It's a different world.
It truly is. It truly is.
Well, listen, ladies, I have a doctor's appointment in the morning, and I got to get me some rest.
Yes, well,
okay,
thank
well,
you so much. And with
God
us.
Bless.
And
thanks for
I hope
time
to be back on soon.
I've enjoyed talking to all of you all. It's been very enlightening. I learned some things, you know, and hey, we can do it again.
Yes, I hope
thank
so.
Thank you,
that's tomorrow night because Ms. Brown is going to be talking about the banking and what's going on with that. That's really important.
Right.
If you can allow, Ms. Brown, can you give a brief summary of what you're going to tell us tomorrow?
I'm going to talk predominantly about how you look for your bank, how you choose your bank, what key factors you should be looking for, which banks are at risk for failing, and what you need to be aware of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
The stock market, our stock market, all of that is crashing, and we're headed for some tough days ahead, and you need to make sure you protect your money.
That's right.
So there's just some key things I want to talk to everybody about that I'm sure they don't know.
Right. That's right. Okay, Antoinette, you're going to send me the link?
Yes, I will.
Okay, I would really appreciate it, because this wasn't live, was it?
Yes, this was live.
Yes.
Unfortunately, with all the mess ups and everything, it was live in the beginning. That's all recorded.
Okay. Okay.
Thanks for subscribe. This is how they go.
But when you send me the link, I'll be able to listen, right?
Yes, you will. Yes.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're
all
more
right.
than
good.
Welcome. Thank you so much for
that
being with me.
Okay, ladies, you have a good evening, and hope we can talk soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, wow.
And thank Brother Eddie. Thank Brother Eddie. I thought he was going to be young. Brother Eddie leave?
Yeah, he decided that to let us have it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's the reason why we were able to continue.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's nice of him.
Yes, it truly was. But Brother Ed and I will be back next Wednesday.
Okay.
And don't forget Sunday, Dry Bones. At 10 a.m. for the Helios Filios, and Brother Ray at...
Saturday I'm trying to get Dr. Cologne and a few other donors to talk.
Oh, great. Great, that's right.
Saturday at 2, yeah.
And the oldest lady one, the Nancy Cologne, that's... Yes, and she's 102,
104, 102,
right?
She's 102,
uh-huh. Yes, to have her with us for a while. That's the reason why it'll be a time show.
She has some great stories, because as I told you, out of 13 children, I think two or three of them were Tuskegee Airmen.
Wow, that's really something.
Yeah, she has an amazing story to tell.
Yes, I bet she does. I'm looking forward to hearing them.
Yeah, you guys will enjoy her. And Miss Kim, you saw we never got anything from our friend.
I know. I was thinking about we need to get back on them today or no later than tomorrow.
He just gonna lie to us again.
But I'm gonna tell you this year, keep lying, talking about you love Jesus.
Yeah, but they do it, Miss Kim.
I said you can't keep doing that. But and when you do it to somebody that know Jesus, something happens when you do that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm gonna let you handle him, because I'm through with him.
Yes. Hopefully he'll come through. Like
I
said,
doubt it. We've been trying for 2 years. So if he hasn't given it to us in 2 years, we asked him 2 years ago.
I'm claiming it. He's going to give it to us.
I hope so.
He's going to give it to us. In the name of Jesus, he's going to give it to us.
That's the only thing that he has. For, and that man should do that. She was kind enough 2 years in a row to let him interview her for way more than an hour. And for him not to be able to do that one thing for her, I just don't understand.
Black or not against black and black?
Yeah.
I've told her not to if he calls her and asks her to interview with him, not for her not to do it.
Yeah. Well, this show, y'all, was dedicated to Harry Belafonte. You know, may he rest in peace.
Amen. Amen.
See you, Harry.
And we, you know,
until we meet again.
Yes, and we ask for peace for his family as they're going through this loss that they were having.
Yes.
I'm sure they were prepared for it.
Pardon me?
Okay, I'm sure the this drop, you know, evidently he's been sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can keep him in our thoughts and prayers because, you know, even when you know that you're losing someone, losing them is always difficult. Always.
Yes, no matter.
And everybody grieves their own way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we have to keep him in our prayers. And thank him for everything he did.
Yes, because he's gave us,
he left a legacy, one that will be remembered forever.
Yes. Yes, he did. He was truly a remarkable man.
Yes, he was.
Yes. So with,
I can't tell it all, yeah.
I know you can't, Miss Kim.
No, I know. I know.
Yeah.
Well, we have to talk again. So, Miss Kim, we're going to call tomorrow and call him again tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll give you a call in the afternoon, and then we can call him.
That is, take him at night.
All right. I love you, ladies. Have a good evening. And we'll talk to you.
Okay, y'all. Well, thank you very much for being with us. And join us back tomorrow so that we can go into the banking and how what's going on. The system will be in having a tremendous impact on us all. So it's definitely a show that you don't want to miss because it's very important and it's an urgent matter that you hear what's going to be said. And with that, Ms. Kim, do you want to give a closing statement?
Blessings. God bless you.
And
God bless
you, guys. Okay, y'all. Well, have a good night, everyone. I'm sorry. I
God be glory, y'all.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Good
okay.
night.
Good night. Let me see if I can get it back to Rachel. No. Okay, I can't play anything. I'm sorry. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I can. Miss Kim, talk for a moment.
Jesus would be a good kind to play sugar, baby.
I don't think I have that up on here. Let me see.
I don't know if you got it on there.
I don't think so.
I stopped smoking when I was with Harry. She bet me. We had to play. Huh?
I didn't know you smoked.
That's a whole lot you don't know, Anthony.
Yes, it is.
I like stuff whoever, and he just shut it up because I kept kicking him. He knew he wasn't paying me enough, so he was giving me $50 every time I saw him smoking.
Oh, wow.
It was a very good tour. I left to go to Hallelujah, Baby. I wish you could have stayed to the end and then go, but that's how it went. Thank you, darling. I'll talk to you in a little bit. Let me get you some rest. I ain't been asleep yet.
Well, Miss Kim, you got to get your rest.
Taking anything. I didn't want to take anything. But I'm going to sleep now. So God bless. Love you.
Bless y'all. Have a good
Bye-bye.
One. Bye-bye.
Down the way where the nights are gay and the sun shines daily on the mountain top, I took a trip on a sailing ship. When I reached Jamaica, I made a stop, but I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head's turning around. I had to leave a little girl. Had to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston town. Down at the market, you can hear ladies cry out while on their heads they bear ackee, rice, salt, fish are nice. And the food is fine any time of year, but I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston town. Sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is sounds of laughter everywhere and the
dancing girls swing to and fro. I must declare my heart is there, though I've been from Maine to Mexico. Still I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head's turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston town. Sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back. For many a day, yet my heart is down, my head is turning around. Had to leave a little girl in Kingston town. Down the way where the nights are gay and the sun shines daily on the mountain top, I took a trip on a sailing ship. When I reached Jamaica, they made a stop, but I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head's turning around. Had to leave a little girl in Kingston town. Sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head's turning around. Had to leave a little girl. Sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head's turning around. I had to leave her little girl in Kingston town.
Thank you.